So we think that if we act a certain way or do certain things in life, that it's going to keep us safe, right? And as you know, through going out and going on these adventures, it gets us out of our comfort zone. And that's what I try and help women do in midlife, whether it's, you know, changing careers or finding a new passion after they retire, or around dating, or, you know, finding a new female tribe. It's, we have to get out of our comfort zone.
And once again, I have another amazing woman for you to meet today. And I got the honor of meeting Lori recently on her podcast, and just like, was like, oh, wait, we're like, you know, sisters from a different mother. Yeah, we both have huskies and we both do adventures and we both have lots of fun. So you got to hear a little bit about Lori in the intro, but now I want to introduce you to Lori and have her tell you, Lori James, could you tell us a little bit about who you are, what your story is, how you got here?
Yes. Well, thank you so, so much, Kelly, for having me. I so enjoyed our conversation on my podcast, Confessions of a Free Bird. So, and I'm so honored to be here with you today. I totally agree. We definitely are soul sisters, you know, sisters from another mother for sure. So in alignment on so many things. So, and I am a mother. I'm a divorcee. I'm a recovering caregiver. I cared for my elderly parents for 14 and a half years, and I'm an author, a podcaster, and what I call a somatic relationship coach. And I stayed home to raise my four daughters, which I wouldn't have traded for the world. And after my kids, my youngest, which were a set of twins, left for school to college, I knew that I wanted to do something for myself. I loved being home. I loved being a stay-at-home mom, but like, this was my opportunity to do something else. And just to better understand how I came up with the title of my podcast was my twin. Everybody kept coming to me, my friends and even acquaintances, saying, aren't you sad? Like, your youngest are leaving for college. Like, what are you going to do? And I kept saying, I'm not sad and I'm not an empty nester. Like, I'm a free bird. This is like my opportunity to, you know, reclaim my life and to get, not that I didn't enjoy them and I love my adult children, but I can now make me a priority again and get back to what I love, or maybe even just like rediscovering who I am and what I love, which is so much of what I've done in the last, well, let's see, 6 years.
Oh, wow. And that's, and you wrote, okay, you wrote your book Sandwiched.
Yes.
And well, let me let you tell us about it, because like, it's such a perfect title. And
thank
I know
you.
So many people that listen here have either had that moment or they're in that moment right now.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
Tell us about Sandwiched and tell us how you moved out of that.
Yeah, thank you. So my book Sandwich, it's a memoir of holding on and letting go. You can pick it up on Amazon or order it through any of your favorite independent bookstores. But it's about the sandwich generation. And the sandwich generation is defined as anyone who falls under between like 45 and 65, who are still caring for their children, either financially or the fact that they're still under their house, and they are caring for their elderly parents in some way, either, you know, daily or financially or any of those categories. And what surprised me was that affects almost 50% of the population between 45 and 65.
Oh my goodness.
And it's a huge, huge percentage. And I'm guessing that a lot of your listeners are saying, uh-huh, or maybe even they're just touched on one side of, yeah, my kids are gone, but I'm still caring for my parents in some way, taking them to doctor's appointments, overseeing their care. I did that for 14 and a half years for my parents. And so my book Sandwiched is about a time, an 8-year period in my life when I was raising my 4 daughters. My mother fell ill. So it starts at the beginning of her illness and my marriage began to fall apart. So it's like the perfect trifecta. And it is about the sandwich generation and it's about parenting and it's about marriage and it's about I'm adopted. So it's also about adoption. But it's really my story from feeling very alone most of my life to finding belonging. And so, I mean, that's where it's at. And then my podcast is really what I consider like the sequel to being sandwiched. And
I was thinking you're coming out is what I was
thinking. Yes. So as you know, your listeners will know, I am divorced. And both of my parents did pass away. So I am no longer fully, I'm no longer sandwiched. And my kids are all launched and off the payroll, as I say. 99.9% off the payroll.
You are a free bird.
I am truly a free bird. And, you know, my father passed away a little over a year ago. My mom passed away during COVID. She had dementia for 12 and a half years,
oh my goodness,
which was very, very challenging because she was so vibrant and so alive and loved to travel. And that's where I think I got my love for adventure is from her. Like she hiked Mount Whitney when she was 55 with a bunch of her girlfriends.
Wow.
And so one of the things I write about in my book, which was really a turning point for me, it was a very pivotal point for me just in terms of nature and how healing it had become for me during that difficult time that I write about, was my oldest daughter at the time, she was a senior in high school. And she wanted to have a goal. She wanted to achieve something. So we talked about it. And she says, I want to hike Mount Whitney in California. That's where I live. And I said, let's do it. So we got, you know, one of her best friend at the time and 3 other moms and I. So there's a total of 6 of us. We trained and we hiked Mount Whitney. And just through that training and getting back out there in nature, which I was raised with, like we would camp in the Sierras as kids. But that really was a pivotal point for me because I was also during that time starting to struggle with my marriage. And that was a very solace, kind of safe space for me to get away from my kids, you know, be with other friends and really kind of process what was going on in my life.
Wow. And that's quite the hike too, on top of everything else.
It is not for the lighthearted at all.
Yeah. That's such a, I mean, the fact that you got to go with your daughter and your friends and there's just something soothing and invigorating at the same time about the, you know, being outside, being connected, being in friendship, moving, right? Yeah. Like, you know, I mean, you're a big exerciser too. And like really, really making the best of everything.
Yeah. Yeah. I just found that I kept getting more drawn to nature through that difficult time. One of the other things that I write about in my book that I'm a very big skier, very avid skier, been skiing since I was little. One of the things that my parents taught us how to do, my dad learned how to ski when he was in the army in the Korean War. And I just fell in love with it. And, you know, I guess it kind of goes back to that free bird thing, you know, just floating on top of the snow. It's just a very freeing experience. It's the closest thing I think I'm ever going to come to flying because I do have a little fear of heights. So I'm not going to do like the skydiving or, you know, any, what's the other, the parasailing. You know, I did that when I was in my 20s, but so for me, that's a sense of freedom and just being out in nature and having the trees be around us, but I've gone heli skiing a couple of times, helicopter skiing.
Wow. So that's the other amazing.
And this was, again, another pivotal point that I write about in my book was I went heliskiing. I was still married, went with my ex-husband. You know, we were, again, up and down, having difficult times. And I thought, I am sitting here in a helicopter flying to the top of a mountain to ski untouched powder. Yet, and that doesn't scare me. I mean, yes, it scares me a little, right. But it's also super invigorating.
Right.
But I'm afraid to leave my marriage.
Ooh, whoa, that's a big one, isn't it?
Yeah, it was really big of like, why am I not afraid to do this, but I'm afraid to leave my marriage. So that was, and you know, it took time. I mean, I was in therapy for 5.5 years before I made the decision to finally follow through and pull the trigger. And, you know, during that time, I had a lot of things going on between, you know, my mom would be on and off of hospice. My kids, you know, had various issues, either, you know, with some anxiety that I had to deal with or physical ailments, you know, so there was a lot of moving parts in my decision.
Right.
But that was it was a really pivotal point because it made me realize that it was really my own thoughts and this ideal that, you know, if I'm going to create the perfect life and the perfect marriage that I didn't necessarily have as a child. And so if I create this, it's going to save me. And it was everything but that. And I'm not suggesting that any of your listeners divorce, but, you know, for me, it's more about looking at the difficult times that we're having in our life and really looking and how nature can kind of help us really heal that part of us and really reflect, like, why am I not afraid to go to these incredible adventures with Kelly and, you know, hike these mountains and ski these places or go down to Costa Rica or go on these incredible adventures, but I'm afraid to do something else in my life, whatever that other part is in our life. So,
I have a question for you.
Yeah.
Do you recommend to the people, the women that you work with, that they find that thing that they're unwilling to do?
Mm-hmm.
And start unraveling that?
Definitely.
Is that one of your...
Yeah, because... And also what I try and help women do is look at where they've been successful in life. Like if they're really struggling, because I help women with their relationships a lot and dating and as we'll talk about, also, I think we're going to touch on is somatic and soma means the body and somatic healing is all about like healing our past experiences and trauma. So I work on the body piece, but I also work on the thoughts, the belief piece, because if you've had a bad experience and then we become afraid of doing whatever that is, right? Let's say, for example, we struggle with girlfriend relationships, right? And because somebody, when we were 12, you know, told us that they were our best friend, and then they turned around and decided to go, you know, make Susie her best friend, right?
Right.
And so sometimes those types of experiences stay with us. And unless we really process it, both from the body because of our nervous system keeps it, but also from our belief system, right? And so I had, going back to my story, I had the belief that my marriage was going to save me from the childhood, because I did have some trauma in my childhood from the parts of my childhood that I didn't get.
Right.
Right. So we think that if we act a certain way or do certain things in life, that it's going to keep us safe. Right. And as you know, through going out and going on these adventures, it gets us out of our comfort zone. And that's what I try and help women do in midlife, whether it's, you know, changing careers or finding a new passion after they retire, or around dating, or, you know, finding a new female tribe. It's, we have to get out of our comfort zone. And that's what happened with me. It's like, I was comfortable in my marriage, and this unknown of the uncertainty of, oh my God, if I make this big life change, what's going to happen to me?
Sure.
You know, and we think that our nervous system thinks that we're going to die, right? Because right? that's unknown, and that's scary.
Right.
Right. But it's like, and so how can you take something, and circling back, how can we take something that we've been successful at in our life, whether it's a career or friendships or even your marriage, and say, and transition that into a place in your life where you are uncomfortable, or it feels a little scary to do? How was I successful in this area of my life? And how can I use those skills to then move it over into this other part of my life?
Mm. So what happens if someone doesn't feel, and I don't know if this is a fair question, but doesn't feel like they've been really successful in any of those buckets? What happens then?
Oh, that's a good question. You know, they just, what I would
find
say
the little wins?
Is,
oh, go on.
Little wins. It's really little wins. And because sometimes we feel like we're not successful in those areas.
Good point.
And we really are.
Right.
So it's really questioning that thought when they don't feel like they have, and then finding evidence of how that is true.
Okay. That makes total sense.
Yeah. So go ahead.
Oh, I was just going to say, is this what you do in your somatic healing? Is this how, tell us about that, because I don't really know it. You've explained a couple of things that made me go, oh yeah, duh, I should know this, but I don't.
Yeah. Well, and here's what I want to say to start is, you and probably some of your listeners are already doing things that heal our nervous system. Like, we're always doing something. So to give you an example is, if you've ever taken a yoga class, which I think a lot of people have, at the end, you know, you're moving. And if it's most yoga classes, vinyasa flow and hatha, outside of like a yin or relaxation class, which is also very good, which is a somatic type practice, a yin or relaxation class. But the whole idea is, we activate our system, our nervous system, right? We're going out and we're exercising, we're busy at work all day, and we're going, and we're in this kind of heightened state of activity, I'll call it. We as humans are not necessarily taught how to downregulate after that. So, and so that's one piece of it. The other piece is, there's a piece that heals trauma within somatic healing, because what happens is, if we have an experience, we don't know how to complete the fight, flight, or freeze response often. So I'll give you an example of that. If you've ever seen a National Geographic show where you see a predator try and kill a prey.
Right.
Right. But the prey somehow gets away.
Right.
Either by freezing, playing dead, escaping, fighting a flight, or they fight.
Right.
What happens in that situation is, oftentimes animals in the wild know how to finish that response. So if you've ever seen an animal, they'll shake their energy off, right? Or they freeze, you know, and then they'll run away. And then you see like a polar bear take a big polar bear breath. We as humans have not been taught how to do that. So going back to the yoga example, if you take a yoga class, at the end, there's Shavasana, where you lie on your mat. And if you have a good yoga instructor, they're going to guide you into the body. What are you feeling? They might even do like a body scan. What are you feeling in your body? Get out of your head, get out of your thoughts and into your body. Where do you still feel tightness? Maybe you can relax. Where, you know, can you relax your shoulders? Can you relax your stomach? Can you relax your arms, your legs, your feet, you know, from your head to your toe? And that's a somatic response from a heightened activity and then bringing it back down to down-regulate or to complete, you know, the regulation of your autonomic nervous system. Does that make sense?
Yes, it does. So basically what you're doing is you're doing something, whatever that thing is.
Yeah.
And then when you're done, you need to bring it all back into your body. You need to relax your nervous system,
yeah,
or else you're still at some stage of that heightened response, even, yeah, though you're not really thinking about it.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah,
exactly.
That makes total sense, because I know, like, you know, Shavasana, I mean, I know the reason for it, but you said something before we started talking that I was like, whoops. And you were talking about even going to where at the end of an exercise, you, mm-hmm, like at the end of a workout, you'll do that.
Yeah. So oftentimes if I'm just walking, or if I go to the gym and work out, or if, you know, if I have a place up in the Sierras, up in Mammoth, so I go hike up there during the summer, I'll just come back and either sit, or I'll lie down on the couch or my bed, and I will just lie there for like 5 or 10 minutes. And again, get out of your head. I get out of my head, and what am I feeling in my body? And I have a lot of tingling in my body, so I notice the tingling. And just sitting with that tingling, I might get a little twitch. I can feel the energy kind of flowing through me. And then I get this, what I call a drop. Like, I can feel the energy drop down out of my head and into my body. So it's like an embodiment. And that is something that every one of your listeners can do. And this doesn't have to be long. This could be 2 minutes, 5 minutes, 10 minutes if you really have it. But just to downregulate your system, it will help you sleep better. It will just help you get out of that hypervigilant or like anxious state of, I got to go, I got to get through my to-do list. I've got, especially, you know, if you're during the holidays or a busy time of the year or every day week, you know, when we're all working so hard, sometimes I will just even take a break in the middle of the day and just lie on my bed for 5 minutes in between coaching clients or, you know, podcast interviews or whatever I'm doing that day, and just sit with myself and just let my body downregulate. And I feel less anxious. It also helps with anxiety hugely.
I was going to say,
which our world has a lot of right now.
It has a lot of. I mean, we're constantly bombarded, right? And, yeah, and so I was thinking about that, because when you told me that earlier, before we started talking or before we started recording, what I thought about was, it was kind of interesting, was this morning. So I have a ritual in the morning. Normally, mm-hmm, I meditate before I get out of bed. Mm-hmm. Usually I have coffee and journal. And then I exercise. Usually I walk first and then I exercise. Then I have like a protein drink.
Mm-hmm.
Then I kind of do my stuff and then I get ready for work. This morning was different. It was, I had early calls, which I normally don't do. And so I got up. Someone else needs to walk the dog. I can't do this. And I went in and I started exercise, did my exercise. And it was a different exercise than I usually do. Is go, 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 go. I'm, uh-huh, talking to my sister while I'm exercising, which I don't normally do. Like, normally exercise is only my time. So I'm talking to her because I got to, you know, check it off my box.
Yep. Multitasking.
Then, right. I'm multitasking without even thinking about it. I'm not concentrating on my muscles. Then I flick my light off. I'm done with that. I throw a shirt on. I decide good enough for today. And And then I come in and I start working. I skip the protein drink. And the other thing I realized was that since then, I've been in this slightly more, well, I guess I should add one more thing. I had two calls this morning that had some agitation to them.
Yeah, yeah.
I had a couple of clients who were in bad states. Mm-hmm. And so I'm like trying to bring them back down and we're working things out. And when you started talking, all of a sudden my whole body was like, oh, Kel.
Yeah.
Oh, Kel.
Yeah.
Why didn't you stop after the workout? Because you would have not forgotten your protein drink. And why don't you stop after the calls and just reconvene?
Yeah.
Downregulate. It's going to make a huge difference.
Well, and we're not taught how to do this. I mean, my parents didn't teach me how to do this. Now that I reflect, though, my mom would sit on the couch for like, she would take short breaks, like 5 minutes here, 10 minutes there in between everything that she was doing. So she actually did do that. I didn't model that very well for my kids. Because when you're raising four kids and you're caring for your elderly parents, you know, like
when you're sandwiched, you don't have time to say,
I didn't have a lot of time. And this is the other thing that I will tell your listeners as it goes back to my story and why it's important to do this.
Okay.
Because after I left my marriage, I put way too much on my plate. I was in the process of writing my book. I had started to date. I was saying yes to a lot of things. I was volunteering. I was starting to do some coaching at that point. And I bought a house. And I remember the 2 weeks before all this. And So what happened is I ended up getting really sick and I ended up in the hospital.
Oh gosh.
And not just once, but twice.
Oh my goodness.
And they could not identify what was wrong with me. I had every test in the book. I literally, the first time I left the hospital, I left with a walker and I looked 6 months pregnant.
Oh my goodness.
And I'm a super active person.
Right.
Like yoga, hiking, skiing, walk my dog every day, all of it. And I felt like I was 80 years old. So if we stay in this heightened state mm-hmm. of activity for too long, this will happen. And I remember 2 weeks prior to this all happening, I said to one of my closest friends, I said, everything is really good right now, but I'm stressed. I feel stressed out. I didn't know how to put the brakes on. So my body did. My body shut down. 2 weeks later, I ended up back in the hospital again. Again, they ran a ton of tests. I had weird stuff like an air bubble on my chest. I had fluid on the lining of my lungs. I lost 14 pounds. I couldn't do anything for myself. My friends were there for me every single day, like cooking for me, taking me to doctor's appointments. Again, ended up the second time in the hospital. They finally diagnosed me with a unnamed virus with what they called migrating arthritis because I had these like hot points, like my knee would swell up and then my ankle would swell up and it would just move around my body. It took 6 months for that to go away.
Was that like all the energy that was stuck in there?
Yep. That was all my energy, everything. All that, you know, hyperactivity state, because I wasn't down regulating. I wasn't slowing my body down.
Yeah, it's going to come out one way or the other.
That's a severe situation. And that's a buildup of like, you know, 15, 20 years between, you know, raising four kids, because I had four kids under the age of five, and then caring for my parents and going through a difficult divorce, you know, and reinventing my life on my terms. So, you know, there was a lot that happened, but at that point, that's when I got into a therapist who has a somatic practice, and that changed my life. And that's why I got into the somatic space as a coach, because I saw the benefits that it had on me. And it has been profound for me.
Right.
In terms of my sleep, my anxiety. I think I've always lived with like this low level of anxiety that I was just able to manage until this happened.
Do you think that a lot of us have that low level of anxiety? Sometimes it's higher. Just kind of running through. And you had mentioned, you'd mentioned earlier trauma. Trauma doesn't have to be like this massive thing.
No.
Trauma can be small things.
Small
things, but we take it in.
Yeah. Yeah. Trauma could be emotional of, somebody hurting your feelings in a way that's very, very triggering that then, ultimately goes back to an experience from our childhood, right?
Right.
That a childhood wound that hasn't really healed or you haven't worked on. So there's that piece, so they've got little T and big T trauma. Big T trauma is, like a car accident, sexual abuse, physical abuse, those types of things. But there's small trauma, even a startle can be considered a type of trauma if you don't complete that reaction. If you're like, oh my God, something scared you in a movie or around Halloween and you freeze, right? But you don't let yourself complete that cycle, that recycle of breathing, relaxing your body, relaxing your muscles, and saying, oh, okay, this isn't a threat anymore. I was scared by whatever it was, but now I'm not. I don't need to be scared of this.
Right.
Right. Like somebody walks around the corner and like startles you, right? Or your husband is home and you don't think he is and he comes around the corner and scares you. It's just taking that few moments of like sitting down and tapping into your body and just letting that cycle complete. That down regulation of, okay, I don't need to stay in this heightened place, because that's where our tension, it's like we all hold tension in our neck and our shoulders, and we're all walking around with our shoulders up to our ears. So these are all really, really wonderful exercises to help you downregulate that fight, flight, or freeze response that we experience in everyday life.
Yeah, I guess we don't. We think we're tough, don't we?
We are, but we are. Right? And all of your listeners are tough. But
we think that, like when you said, somebody startles you, my first thought was, really, Lori? And then I thought, somebody I know.
Yeah.
I saw her just recently. She got startled.
Yeah.
And then I watched, she never came down from the startle.
Yep.
Yeah. Right?
Yeah.
And I was like, you're right.
Yeah.
Like, it was super, like about an hour later, I said to her, I was like, why don't we sit down and have a cup of tea?
Yeah. Yeah.
Right.
And that was a beautiful thing that you said to her, because that just sitting down with you is going to help her. You're helping her co-regulate her system.
Yeah. It was, I guess, intuitive. Because
beautiful.
I could just see that she was still nervous.
Yeah. And still in like a heightened state.
Yeah.
Call it sympathetic. You're in sympathetic. Right. And if you're below, it's parasympathetic. But, we kind of want to be in the middle.
Okay.
Where we're regulated.
Well, I have to tell you, I would keep you here all day because I find this really, really fascinating. And at the same time, I also have to honor your time.
Thank you.
So that said, I would like to, if you don't mind, when we come back from the break, could you do a exercise where it's going to be a secret, ladies. When we come back from the break, Lori's going to lead us through an exercise that might help some of this. I met the coolest woman recently on one of the free fitness strategy calls. She said she'd been on my newsletter for almost a year and had never booked a strategy call, despite clicking on the quote unquote book a strategy call link like a million times. That was her words, not mine. When we finished talking, though, she told me how incredibly relieved she felt. She now had a direction and the know-how she'd been missing. You know what? That made my day. I love doing these calls. Most weeks, I can leave space on my calendar for about 5 free 20-minute strategy calls. If you grab one of those spots, like my new friend did, you'll finish that call with clarity on how to change your health and your fitness. Sometimes new clients come from these calls. Sometimes new friends come from these calls. And sometimes one call is the breakthrough that somebody needs. So why not try doing something different this year? To get a complimentary strategy session, go to fitisfreedom.com/plan. Once again, fitisfreedom.com/plan. I can't wait to meet you. Okay, Lori.
Yeah.
Can you lead us through maybe a little bit of your work?
Yeah.
So that everybody has something to work on for the next week.
Yeah.
As their exercise for this podcast.
Yeah. Great.
All right. We are ready.
So what I'd love to invite everybody to do right now is just find a comfortable place. That could be sitting on a chair. You could be lying on the floor, lying on your bed or your couch. Or you, if you're listening to this in the car and you are pulled over in a parking lot, anywhere is fine. Just get comfortable. And to start, I just want you to take a moment and feel the chair, the bed, the couch underneath you. Feel it supporting you and feel how it, your legs, the back of your legs are making contact with the chair. Maybe the back of your back is touching the couch, the bed, or maybe the back of your chair. And just notice your feet as well. And as we're sitting here, I just want you to take a moment and notice a place in your body that feels a little tight. That could be your shoulders or your neck. And just notice that for a minute. And notice if any thoughts come up around it. If thoughts do come up, that's okay. See if you can just let them go for right now. And now, as you're noticing this tightness, take a moment and see if you can find a place in your body that's a little bit more relaxed. And just notice that relaxed part in your body. And see what you notice in your body. And notice if that relaxation stays, if it changes, or maybe it spreads to other parts of your body. We're just going to stay with this for maybe another couple of seconds. And now what I'd like for you to do, and if you'd like to pause this, you're welcome to pause this and stay with this longer. I'd like for you to go back to where that tightness is in your body that you felt where we started. Notice that tightness. And notice if it's been, if it's different than from the first time you noticed that tightness. Has it softened? Has it become tighter. There's no right or wrong to any of this. Just notice what's happening in our bodies. And again, we're just going to stay with this for just a minute longer, or maybe 30 seconds. Just notice how that tightness changes. And now let's go back to that relaxed, softer place within us. And notice how that has changed or shifted. And you can stay with this softness for as long as you'd like, but for our purposes, we're going to end here. And as you end, just let's come back and notice the chair or whatever you're lying on underneath you. And if your eyes were closed, go ahead and open them and just orient yourself to the room. This is all signaling that to your nervous system that you can relax, you can downregulate, and you are safe.
Wow. Well, thank you. I mean, I'm so lucky because I get to do this with everybody else.
Yeah. So I'm curious, how was that for you? Because I saw you walked through the process.
I did the entire process, and I will tell you that I am more in my body than I was, even though before we got on this call, I actually did take a couple of seconds to try and just like do some breath work because I feel it's very important for me to be 100% here for you.
Yeah.
Because you're coming in to talk with us, and that's my job is to be here for you. And I still wasn't completely in my body, I could tell. So yes. Yes.
After this exercise, you were more in your body than you were much more before we started. Yeah.
In fact, you can probably hear it in my voice.
Yeah.
So this is what you do when you work. I mean, obviously not just this. I mean, you do a lot more than this, but this is the kind of peace and relief you bring to your clients when you work with them on one-on-one.
Yes. Especially for when I'm working with them on the somatic piece that I try that. Depending on what they come to me for, I always intertwine the somatic piece because it's so important to get into our bodies. We are so disconnected from our bodies as a society. We are taught to think our way through everything. And it's really when we get into our bodies that's when we can get more in touch with our intuition. That's when we can get more in touch with what we want more out of life. And so, yes, this is one of the many things that I do when I work with my clients and how I help them get more embodied so that way they can find more freedom, inner freedom, more happiness. And when we're more centered and more connected with ourselves, we can show up for all those people that we love.
Yeah. And that's when you become a free bird, right?
And that's when you become a free bird.
I love it. And so, okay, how can people find you?
So they can go to my website, Lori E. James, which I'm guessing will be in the show notes,
Absolutely. But
it's Lauriee James. I'm on Instagram at lori.james. I'm also on Facebook and LinkedIn, just under my name, Lori James. They can find me there. And yes, I'd love to connect with anybody who this has been of interest to.
Awesome. And of course, we will have everything in our show notes. We'll make sure you get seen on social because I want people to know how important this is, how important it is to shake after the trauma, right?
Yes. Yes. And it's okay. And it's okay because our society, again, shames us or we shame ourselves like, oh my God, that's embarrassing. It's like, no, it's actually normal.
Oh. Well, Lori, thank you so very, very much for being here. I truly appreciate it.
Thank you so much for having me. I so enjoyed our time together, Kelly, and I look forward to staying connected with you.
Thank you again so much for listening today. I truly appreciate the opportunity to connect. If you're ready to incorporate fitness consistency into your life, I'd love to help. I have a special gift for you. If it's a struggle to stay consistent with your fitness, and you're ready for all the energy, vitality, and feeling great you can have, go to my website, fitisfreedom.com, and on the homepage, you can get a free copy of my Consistency is Key Masterclass, plus a fitness plan you can follow along with, guaranteed to get you started on your path to being fit and free forever.